You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
You can support us on Patreon and join our Discord server at patreon.com/WTFolklore.
Happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, da-ha-dee-da-ha-dee-ho. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-da-ha-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What's a Folklore, Making Sense of Senseless Tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
Crime Weaver Tyler.
I'm Gordy. Or as I am known this week, Buttery Ron. Buttery and slimy.
Just oozing. Delicious. I don't want to think about ooze anymore.
Well, we're not done with ooze yet.
Almost.
We're getting there. This might be a shorter episode. We'll see. We'll see how much ooze is there. Ooh, I did scroll down longer than I wanted to find the end of this, though. Oh boy. We're still in the Dinocalypse, reading the Bluebird. Tyler, would you like to summarize what has happened?
No! But I will. So, there's a sad king, because his wife died, and he met another woman who was sad too, and they got sad together until they weren't, and they got married, and they both had daughters that we learned about afterwards. One is really good, the eighth wonder of the world, everybody loves her, her name's Florine. The other one's name is Trout, and she's greasy and slimy and goopy like a trout, and no one likes her. But they're both eligible for being married, so they gotta get out of the house, so the king and queen invite Prince King Charming over with his entourage of friends who are in the other room waiting for him to do his business. The king and queen want to get rid of Trout first, but this king wants Florine instead because she's better, so they lock Florine up in a tower so he can't have her, but he goes to find her in the tower anyway, but it's Trout in disguise, and they fly away on frogs together to her fairy godmother's house to have a wedding, but it's so bright there that he realizes he's been duped by demons. So while he's there, he gets in a 20-day argument with the fairy godmother about having this wedding that he doesn't want to have because she ties his shoes to the ground magically. And after all that time of arguing and not pooping or eating, she does more magic to him to make him a bluebird to think about what he's done, which is not marry the woman he doesn't want to marry. His grievous crime. He's going to be a bluebird for 7 years. 2 years later, he's still a bluebird. His kingdom is in ruin. But he flies up to Florine's tower where she still is and sings and talks to her, and they become secret nighttime lovers. But this also is discovered eventually, and I don't know, some other stuff happened, and then a trap was set for him and he got all chopped up from knives and stuff that led a trail back to his secret tree hideout. And he was really sad because for whatever goddamn reason he thought the Princess Florine did this to him, despite having numerous other enemies established in this story, including demons. And then he met with his wizard friend, who he remembered having after his wizard friend spent 9 times going around the world with made-up rules to find the king. And here we are.
Yep, here we are. They have discussed how to govern the kingdom with him as a bird, because people are trying to fill the power vacuum left by a bird king for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we left it.
The queen and her goopy trout daughter tried to insinuate that Florine was doing a treason from her tower. I don't know if that's going anywhere.
Yeah.
They tried to frame documents. Her with documents.
Yeah.
I don't know.
While the wizard and the king are discussing bird governance, Fleurien, meanwhile, has just spent days at the window calling for the bird, even with the spy there, until her constant crying just wears her out and makes her sick.
Are we back in it, or are you just...
Yeah, we're back
completing the setup. Okay.
Nope, we're in it. The story's going on. This is... We're picking up with Fleurien crying in front of a spy about a bird she wants to see.
Mm-hmm.
So the queen and Truitan are more delighted by their vengeance than they had been annoyed by the offense. But Donois would like the narrator here to interject and remind you, but really, what offense? What offense was really there? He's not a bad guy. He just didn't want to marry a monster he had every reason to detest. You should still like him, even though he is one of the more unlikable characters I, Donois, have written. Which is a feat in and of itself. Alright.
I've impressed myself this time with how unlikable my characters are.
Meanwhile, Florine's dad gets old and ill and then dead.
So. That is the standard order of things.
Yeah. And now all the people of the country kind of hate the queen and Truitan for abusing their influence, and they demand Fleurien as their queen.
Mm-hmm.
The queen wanted to treat the matter with a high hand, and she went out on her balcony and threatened the rebels.
That'll do it.
Yep. So sedition spread. The doors of her room were forced, her room was pillaged, and the queen was stoned to death.
That, yeah, I was going to say that'll quell the angry mob, but, you know, here we are.
Yep. Her daughter, Trout Ooze, fled to her fairy godmother to escape. All of the nobles assembled and they went to the tower where the princess was lying ill, unaware of her father or the queen's deaths, and assumed that people were coming to put her to death. There's a lot of assumption making an ass out of people in this story, which is sort of the moral of the story, I think.
Donois was ahead of her time in that way.
The actual news left her cold and indifferent. Exactly the traits you want in your ruler. So they take her to the palace. I just envision them picking her up from the bed. She stares in indifference ahead of her. And they put a crown on her.
Yes.
Is it like a nice one?
Yep.
Or is it the crown. Goopy? Did they take the goopy one?
They cleaned the goop off of it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so goop is cleaned. It's put on her head. All the people are trying to take good care of her health, which I don't think she's trying to do. She just wants to find a bird so that she can be cured. So she nominates a council to take charge of the kingdom in her absence. Then she takes out a bunch of the expensive jewels and sneaks out of the palace.
What happened to the spy?
I guess she's just left in the tower. I don't know.
Did she get stoned?
No.
On the way to rescuing Fleurien?
No, I guess she just went back to being a regular waiting maid after having a thrilling interlude as a spy.
As a spy.
Yeah. So, the enchanter who had been looking after Charming's affairs was not powerful enough to fix the whole bird problem. So he
Fuck
wanted...
you. He made frogs into dragons. Fuck you, he can't make a bird into a king again. Donois, you can't trick me. Your magic system doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Look, maybe wizard magic and fairy magic are just fundamentally incompatible forms of magic and one can't influence the other.
Then he wouldn't have been able to cure his wounds.
The wounds were made by physical objects, not magic.
But they were made onto the enchanted body.
He can't unenchant the king's body, but he can...
He can still alter it, apparently. Can he not enchant... alter it into a man shape?
Look, he can alter a bird who has become many pieces of bird into back into the one whole bird. He can reinstate the fairy's magic as it was created. Cannot undo it. He can just return it to its stat, its natural state.
This.
Anyway, he takes the flying frogs to the fairy. There's not much difference between an enchanter and a fairy. And the two of them had known each other for 500 or 600 years.
Apparently there's a significant magical difference. Maybe you should mention that.
They had 100 fights over the centuries and made up for them again. So she receives him kindly and she says, "Hey, what does my comrade want?" And he says, "Hey, you messed up my best friend," kind of burdened him. She says,
there's a sexy backstory here somewhere, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Again, there are a lot of stories that aren't being told that I would much rather be reading. Like, I wanna know about this magician and the insurrection of the kingdom that was left when its king turned into a bird.
Sure you would.
He's battled this particular fairy 100 times, but they've always made up in the end.
Yeah, it's like, how many immortal magical beings do you have around? You can't be mad at each other forever. It's the only person you know who really gets you.
This is a Jim Butcher novel waiting to happen.
So she says, I understand you, comrade. He did incur my wrath. He can only fix it if he marries my goddaughter. So the enchanter meets the goddaughter and is struck dumb at her ugliness. But he does want to find some solution because the king had already run into about 1,000 risks since being put in his cage. The nail it was hung on broke and it fell, his feathered majesty suffering much. Nanette the cat had scratched his eye with the paw.
When?
Just like over time. Once they forgot to give him anything to drink, so that was a problem.
That one's on you, wizard. So many tragedies have befallen the king. Like the time I was a fucking idiot.
We ran out of bird seed. Also, a monkey got loose and plucked a bunch of his feathers.
No! What? What are you keeping that monkey around for?
And as a side note, he was constantly on the verge of losing his kingdom.
Yeah, we know that. We know that one already.
So he does make the arrangement to take Trout Girl to the castle to live until Charming decides to marry her if he can have his own form again. And then says, we'll just turn him back into a bird if he still refuses. So the fairy gave Trout Princess dresses of gold and silver, mounted her on a dragon, because she's a much cooler friend than the wizard. And they went to the land of Charming and turned him back into his regular Hotman form.
It's named after him?
Yeah, it's
like,
very...
That's the name of the kingdom?
That's all
the
we get.
The land of Charming?
Yeah. He is not thrilled by all of this, and he spends his time less on governing the kingdom than on trying to come up with ways to put off the whole marriage bullshit. So it won't be the land of Charming for much longer if he keeps this up.
But is he a man again now, for the time being?
Yes, he is temporarily remanned. Meanwhile, Florine has disguised herself as a peasant with messy hair. So no one's going to think, Eighth Wonder of the World, because she doesn't have a hairbrush. And what kind of Eighth Wonder of the World doesn't have a hairbrush? She's journeying around
She's a four tops now.
Yeah.
She's the fourth wonder.
She's journeying around without any plan.
Being the fourth wonder rather than the eighth wonder?
Yeah. They are numerical.
I would have thought that being number one would be better.
No, it's out of a scale of 10.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They just haven't found two really, really good ones yet.
Okay.
So one day while she's bathing in a stream, an old woman stops and says, hey, what you doing? And so she, instead of just answering the clear answer of taking a bath, takes the opportunity to just start on a whole pity party with her entire backstory. Until the old woman, who probably at this point regrets asking anything, gets the entire story from her. So the old woman draws herself up, shakes herself out, and becomes a beautiful, young, and superbly dressed woman. So she just does a shimmy and becomes hot.
She's, like, flexing?
Yeah.
What's the point of this? Hey,
Florine. Susio is my sister.
So I'm your fairy godmother. Now. The hot one.
Yep. So here's what he's up to right now. And she lets her know. And she's like, all right, now here, take these 4 eggs and break them when you're in urgent need of help.
She just smashes all 4 at once.
Now. Magic eggs.
So Florine is consoled, and she puts her eggs in the bag, and she goes to his kingdom, which maybe should have been part of her plan in the first place, but eh. After 8 days, she reaches a huge ivory mountain that is unscalable.
So she smashes an egg on it, and it goes away.
So after tiring herself out trying to climb it, she sits down, and she's like, well, I better just die.
That's probably best, yeah.
Yeah. But then she remembers she has magic eggs to solve her problems for her.
Mm-hmm.
So she cracks one open and she finds inside of it gold grappling irons to attach to her feet and hands, so she climbs the mountain with no difficulty because...
So what, she just becomes Spider-Man?
Gordy, it was you and I who tried the rock climbing that one time, right?
It was.
That shit's not easy.
It's not easy.
Even with the, like, handholds. Like, the grappling irons only solve part of your problem. I don't think she has maintained upper body strength after years of crying in a tower.
Crying and not eating.
Horribly dehydrated. When she gets to the top of the mountain, she finds another difficulty.
She needs down.
To get down, yeah. Because the valley is one sheet of mirror around which 60,000 women are looking at themselves with delight, because it is a 2 leagues wide and 6 foot high mirror that shows people as they wish to be.
What?
It's just the mirror of a Erised, I guess. But big.
But the size of a country.
Yeah. A red-haired maiden sees herself with fair ringlets. Tonwa, you're a bitch.
I don't care.
Brown hair looks black. Old looks young. All defects are hidden. And it was enough to kill oneself with laughter at the grimaces and affectations of these vain creatures. Also, there were men there.
Good to know.
Uh-oh. Boys. Boys in the house.
No one had reached the top of the mountain before, and when they see her, they do worry she's going to walk on the mirror and break it. So she smashes an egg on it. Yeah, so she does smash an egg. Two pigeons and a chariot come out, and then they grow real big so that they can take her. So she gets into...
Probably should have smashed that egg first, huh? That seems like it solves both problems, up and down.
Yeah.
Maybe... Seems like you didn't have to exert yourself climbing that fucking mountain if you had this chariot with birds attached to it just sitting in your pocket.
You might think.
And again, this is further proof that the fairies are way better at things than this enchanter, because it's like fucking birds. They're not messing around with frogs.
Right, like I thought she was gonna like crack that second egg and get some like go-go gadget skis or some shit. To get down. No, she gets flying mounts.
So they take her directly to the palace. We didn't even need to know about this mirror that does stuff.
And I shall forget it.
The story is regularly introducing other more interesting stories and then just leaving them.
Mm-hmm.
That's good world building, though. It makes you want to spend more time here. It invites a lot of fan fiction of its own.
Yeah, I guess so. They take her to the palace. She gives them each a kiss, which Donal would like us to know is a greater reward than a crown would have been. Which I think is stupid.
A kiss. That's just your opinion, Donal.
Yeah, a kiss from this lady is better than a crown. Probably both of them are pretty shitty rewards if you're a pigeon. Like, you have no real use for either of these things. A greater reward for this would be seeds. Probably.
Or freedom.
It's like some sunflower seeds. Her heart was beating fast, and she besmeared her face for a disguise. She asked to see the king, but everyone calls her Little Smutty Face and tells her to go away and wash herself.
Okay, well, but it's like soot. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it seems like it was a bad plan on her part. Because she could maybe have done this, like... after getting the directions.
Could have probably, sure. Like, cracked her third egg on it and become Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
Given that the king's bedroom window was smashed, I'm sure she could find filth somewhere in between being admitted to see the king and actually seeing him. It just seems like this place is not well kept.
No.
So, she just keeps going until finally she gets word that he's coming to the temple to finally marry the princess. Princess Frog Face Trout Lady who's princess.
Yeah, the goop one.
Per usual, she figures, well, it's time to just die, and starts whining again. She seeks lodging and goes to bed without food, because if you didn't know this, appetites aren't so good when you're unhappy.
which is why she's never eaten in her life.
So the next day she goes to the temple. She gets insulted the whole way because no one has anything better to do in this town. She sees the two thrones and she goes up and leans against a marble pillar near her rival's throne. Even though she's a smutty face, I guess she's allowed to do this. The king is the first to arrive, looking real hot. And then Truatan followed in nice clothes. But she was so ugly, she frightened people. She frowns at Florine or whatever, and she says, "Who dares to stand so close to my throne?" And Hot Princess says, "My name is Miesulian, and I come from a long way to sell you rarities." She pulls out some of the emerald bracelets that she'd gotten from Charming when he was a bird.
Does he remember?
Well, Truatan rolled initiative on the responses, so we'll find out. She says, "Those are pretty pieces of glass. How's 5 sous a piece sound?" And Florine says, "I'll show them to one who knows value." And Truatan, who loved the king more tenderly than such a monster seemed capable of, was delighted to have an excuse to talk to him.
Her husband, to be.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, she is a lot more sympathetic than most of our generically evil because ugly characters have ever been. The king does remember the ones he gave Florine, and he just sighs, and after a long silence he says, "These bracelets are worth as much as my kingdom. I thought there was but one pair, but here are others."
Somebody made counterfeits.
So Truatan sat on her throne looking as pretty as an oyster in its shell, and she asked the price of the bracelets, and Florine said, "Let me sleep a night in the echo room of the king's palace." So Truatan laughs and says, "Sounds good, smutty face."
That's very rude.
That's a price I'm willing to pay.
She laughs like a madwoman and shows her teeth, which were longer than wild boar tusks, which we're only finding out now. You think that that will be a pretty definitive feature of a face that we've seen a number of times up until this point.
I guess we couldn't see it through the goop.
See, what you must know now that I've decided to introduce this element to the story.
Yeah.
Is that back when the king was a bird and they were having those long conversations, It wasn't just the high school gross bullshit that I decided to write out for you.
Yeah.
He had also told Florine about this echo room in his palace, which is under his room, and it's so ingeniously made that all that was said quite low in it was heard by the king in his own room. So it's perfect for Florine to reproach him for his unfaithfulness.
Man, I wish she had an eraser. Man, oh man. That would have fixed so many of her problems.
Or even just like a good second draft. Like the willingness to write a second draft.
Just write it again.
Just edit anything.
Alright, so Florine visits the chamber, and she throws a tantrum in it about how he forgot her, and even the bracelets couldn't remind him of her, so she cries all night. The valets had heard her, and they ask Truatan about the noise making, and Truatan asks about it, and Florine says, "Well, I'm a sleep talker." The king hadn't heard her because he'd been having trouble sleeping lately, so he took opium to get to sleep.
This is all working out swimmingly.
So now he's a man, he's got an opiate addiction.
What do the other two eggs do? Can we skip to that?
So Florine was all anxious about the fact that he was super indifferent and hasn't brought anything like the emeralds to remind him of her. So she has to figure out, she has to use an egg. She's run out of reminders. It's egg time.
Yeah, it is egg time.
She breaks one in a coach of polished steel inlaid with gold with 6 green mice harnessed to it, and a rose rat as a driver pops out of it.
Put him back in the egg.
So we got a pink rat driving, green mice carrying a coach. 4 marionettes were in the coach, and they were livelier and funnier than any marionettes you've ever seen.
Fuck yes! Yes! From downtown! 3-pointer, half-court shot. Got
draining him. Threes.
Buckets, buckets, buckets.
So you're okay with this now?
Yeah.
So she shows off this cool toy of hers during Truatan's evening walk, and she bargains again for echo chamber access. So she talks all night again, and the king is still in an opium daze, and the valets assume that she is mad, but she is also saying some nice and tender things, so, yeah. Keep put up with it. So she has one more try. One more egg. I'm going to pause here and see if you guys can guess what is in this egg.
I hope for Gordy's sake that it's just fucking Pompeii in that egg.
Make it happen.
She just cracked that egg open and the ground erupts.
It just destroys this kingdom. Like, if I can't have him, no one can.
Bastille starts singing.
Any other guesses for what is in this egg?
I have my hope.
Okay, we're just hoping for a volcano. Well, this egg has a pie. The pie is made of 6 birds, all larded and cooked and beautifully dressed. The pie sang wonderfully. The pie told fortunes. The pie is also a doctor. It knows a lot of medicine.
Wait.
Oh.
The one pie made of birds has a doctorate.
It knows a lot about medicine.
A shared doctorate.
I think this counts for Tyler's prediction.
I mean, I already got the marionettes.
Yeah, that's you got
I'll take this too, certainly.
I think this is better than marionettes because it's a pie that sings and knows medicine. It's a pie that could guest star on Sawbones. So, while Florine is waiting for Truitonne with her singing Dr. Pie, one of the king's valets comes up to her and says, "Hey, you know, if the king didn't take opium, you would drive him mad with your nightly chatter. Just thought I'd toss that out here. Have a good day, bye." So she bribes the valet with pearls and diamonds that she'd brought with the emerald bracelets to not give him opium that night and to let her stay in the same room. A few minutes after that, Truitonne came along and she saw Florine pretending as though she was about to eat this pie. And she asks her what she's doing, because everyone in this fucking world is unable to make conclusions about basic fucking actions with their own eyes. I don't think I've walked in on somebody who's just sitting there eating and said, "What are you doing?" Because it's clear. It's clear what you're doing. But she answers, "I'm eating astrologers, musicians, and doctors." And at this moment, all the birds in the pie began to sing and cry out, "Give us a silver penny and we will tell your fortune." A duck appeared to be the leader and called out louder, "Quack, quack, quack, I am a physician. I can cure every ill and every kind of madness except love." So it was a literal quack pie. Doctor in a pie. What were you saying, Gordy? Sorry.
A lot going on in this pie. Very complex.
Sounds like a
flavor structure.
Like, yeah, a Twilight Zone episode or perhaps a Goosebumps novel. Mm-hmm. Where a duck can cure every madness you have except for the one that makes you hear the duck talk.
I feel like if you were to present this pie at like an Iron Chef competition, you would get reamed for like having too many conflicting flavors in the same pie. Alright, so Truitonne was more surprised by this than the other wonders, as you would be. And they do another bargain for the Echo Room. And Truitonne throws in a gold coin because she is just so pleased by this pie who is a doctor.
Who is a duck.
Who is a duck. So night comes, Florine goes to the Echo Room, she begins her usual moaning, and the king finally hears it because he's not been drugged up. And he responds about, like, all the knives that cut him when he was a bird. And Florine heard him, so I guess the Echo Room allows them to talk to each other like a cup on a string. So Florine heard this, and he says that he needs to talk it over with Mies Sulian, her fake identity, and clarify what's been going on. So he immediately calls his valet and says, "Hey, find that chick." And the valet says, "Oh, it's fine, she's in the echo chamber." And the king is astonished because he can't believe that Florine disguised herself as Mies Sulian. And how could Sulian have a queen's voice and know her most intimate secrets? I feel like that would be explained by her disguising herself, but this king's an idiot, so... So he takes the secret staircase that's there that he probably told her about when he was a bird. You don't need to hear it. And he finds her wrapped in a white taffeta robe that she had been wearing under her crappy clothes. "Do I still have you?"
Well, in the sense that I'm here, yes. In the sense that I don't know what's going on, then no.
I don't know if I'm here.
Do I need to clarify anything or just move forward?
I feel like I'm floating.
Yeah, let's just keep going. I don't think anything's going to fix this.
So love overcomes his anger at being ripped to pieces by knives. And he throws himself at her feet and he bathes her hands in tears. So sexy. So they spend some time having feelings at each other and they realize we got a deal with Susio.
How close are we to the end?
We're very close.
Okay, I'm going to let you finish before I give my thoughts.
Yeah.
Just at that moment, the Enchanter arrived with a celebrated fairy who happened to be the Egg Fairy, and they declared that they joined their power in favor of the king and Florine. Susio was therefore powerless, and a new wedding is planned. Again, magic system rules here are very confusing.
Indeed.
In daylight, they were revealed, and everyone was delighted. And when Truatan ran to the king, she was surprised, and just opening her mouth to call Florine all kinds of rude, evil names when the Enchanter and the fairy appeared and changed her into a sow named Ernie. So at least part of her name and Surly Temper remained to her.
Mm-hmm. Shirley Temple, go on.
She ran away grunting to the backyard to loud laughter. King Charming and Queen Florine planned their wedding feast, and everything was elegant and superb and didn't require any description at all. The end.
Is that why her name was Florine this whole time? So she could be Queen Florine?
Yeah.
Great, so we're done.
Yep, we did it.
Okay, so here's my take. Because I've been thinking about this for this entire episode, I think. We didn't go off the rails until now, really.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
That we didn't go off the rails?
Comparatively. Yeah, like,
certainly strange things happened throughout, but...
Yeah.
they had a certain level of through line to them that you could follow.
Mm-hmm.
Until now. And what I think happened is that when she sat down to make this story, this was her one and only time where she gave an honest to goodness try at writing words. And after a point, she got exhausted with the process and she went back to her tried and true method of cutting words out of magazines and then pasting them back to back until she was done. Because that's the only way that I can see her getting, like, the pie was a duck and doctor.
I think by the time she got to the pie, just all of the suppressed Dawnwanus, like, she had realized after a point, like, I've been doing these too crazy, too nuts. I have to rein it in. Let's get some good, like, political fantasy in here. We'll do a treason accusation that goes nowhere, because I did forget about it. We'll try and get, like, a magic system going. And then she finally gets to the pie. She's like, all of the repressed Dawnwanus just spurts out of her like a volcano. So in that right. sense, Gordy was also right.
Yes. I want to give Gordy points here. It was a metaphor.
It was a metaphor. Nora
was the volcano all along.
And I did bring up comparative language.
You did.
It's true. Yeah. So it really ties this all together in a well constructed, neat bow that, though improvised between three people across three episodes, still is a little bit more neatly tied together than mm-hmm. this fairy tale. That has survived centuries. So we did it.
We did
survived.
It. Do not do this to me again for at least a year.
I make no promises.
I feel fatigued after these.
I need to lay down.
Yeah, I mean, I do too.
In
my throat is dry.
My bones hurt.
I ran out of water a while ago. My back hurts after this. I'm going to go take a nap and then...
Yeah, please go to sleep.
Eat something bad for us as emotional an emotional salve to the day. So thank you for listening to us.
Thank you.
Talk about a duck doctor who is part of a pie.
He appears to be the leader.
Appears to be the leader. Not
that
confirmed.
Means that there is dissent in the pie. The pie operates on a two-party system.
The pie also wants a silver penny, and I'm curious what the pie intends to purchase with this.
More ducks.
Yeah, so I feel like you could mine Donwa stories for much more interesting stories.
It is a universe in and of itself.
Alright, well, that's gonna do it for me, I think. I don't have closing thoughts because my brain is goop. You share your closing thoughts with us and fill in the blanks on this part of the episode.
Yes, please.
Yeah, via Twitter or Discord or whatever. Let us know if you have ever had a pie that told you your fortune or cured an illness. And also, where can you get this? Alright, thank you everybody for sticking with us through this. Thank you to our patrons for supporting us for whatever reason when we do this to you.
Thank you.
Thank you to our top tier patrons, Midori, Lily, Janice, Kelly, Elsie, Katarina, Tasmanian Tiger, Funky Little Strawberry, Lemur, Spat Ghost Coast to Coast, Caitlin, Danielle, Wyatt, Soapy Faye, Olwen, Queen of Terrible Taste, Allie, Pants for Satin Spiders, Kim, Versus Me 101, The Day Dude, Pyrus, Kelty, Nathan the Scott, Alex, Nellicle Cats, Last Christmas I Dave You My Heart, Maya, Grace, Busty Votee, High Listus of Wimbus, Yahweh Yahweh, Little Smorgasbord, Haley, Dominic, Justin, Jeremiah, Ladybug the Extorter, Izzy, Heather, Hi Meow Lady, The Cult of Cricket, and Nuisance of the Show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you also, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Doug.
We're What the Folklore, and that's how it works.
But if you close your eyes, does it almost feel like nothing changed at all?
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have story suggestions for us, please send them to wtfolklore@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales. If you enjoyed our show, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.